بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 11th hadith from Riyadu Salihin, from the chapter of Al-Ikhlas wa Ihdar al-Niyya, from the chapter of sincerity and having a good, sincere intention. And the 11th hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And as we mentioned in the previous lesson, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, his real name, as has been mentioned by some of the Huffaz, is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar. So he is Abu Huraira Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar radiallahu anhu. And he said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَلَاتُ الرَّجُلِ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ تَزِيدُ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِ فِي سُوقِهِ وَبَيْتِهِ بِذَّمْ وَشْرِينَ دَرَجَةً, that the salah, the prayer of a man in congregation, i.e. the prayer of a person in congregation in the masjid, its reward is 20, more than 20 times than praying in his house or praying in his shop or place of business. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Salat al-Rajul fi jama'ah, the salah of a man in jama'ah, in congregation, in the masjid, tazidu ala salatihi fi suqihi wa baytihi, is greater than 20 times in reward than when he prays in his house or when he prays in his shop. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ أَحَدَهُمْ إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءِ, and that is that if one of the people performs wudu at home, فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءِ, and performs wudu well, ثُمَّ أَتَى الْمَسْجِدِ, and then comes to the masjid, لا يريد إلا الصلاة, and he does not intend anything except the salah. لا ينهزه إلا الصلاة, and the only thing which made him leave his house was the salah. لم يخطو خطوة إلا رفع له بها درجة, this person does not take a step except that by each step a deed is being written for him or is being increased for him. وَحُطَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيئَةً, and by every step the person makes coming to the masjid, a sin is being eliminated or a sin is being wiped away. حَتَّى يَدْخُلَ الْمَسْجِدِ, until he enters the masjid. فَإِذَا دَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدِ كَانَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ مَا كَانَتِ الصَّلَاةُ هِيَ تَحْبِسُهُ, and then when he enters into the masjid, he remains in the state of praying salah as long as it is the salah which keeps him in the masjid. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مَا دَامَ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ الَّذِي صَلَّى فِيهِ, and the angels, they continue supplicating for the person who remains in the place where he prayed. The angels say, Allahumma arhamhu, O Allah, bestow mercy upon him. Allahumma ighfir lah, O Allah, show forgiveness, O forgive him. Allahumma tub alayhi, O Allah, accept his repentance. Ma lam yu'thi fihi, ma lam yuhdith fihi, as long as a person does not harm another person, and neither does he break his wudu. And this hadith, muttafaqun alayh, has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, wa hadha lafzu Muslim, and it is the wording of Al-Imamu Muslim. In this hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the reward and the virtue of a person who prays in the masjid, in congregation, as opposed to a person who prays alone in his house or in his workplace. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that the one who prays in the masjid in jama'ah, the reward is greater than 20 times. And in some narrations, 27 times. So there are, a person receives 27 more times the reward of praying salah in the masjid than he does praying at home or praying in his workplace or in the marketplace or in his business. And then, and there is a reason for this. Why is it that the salah in jama'ah, in the masjid, is increased in reward manifold? And the ulama mention that when a person prays the salah in the masjid, then he has fulfilled two obligations. And when a man prays salah in the house, he has only fulfilled one obligation. So when a person prays in the house, he has fulfilled one obligation, and that is the obligation of the salah. And when a man approaches the masjid and prays his salah in the masjid, he has fulfilled two obligations. And this is the obligation of firstly fulfilling the salah, and secondly the obligation of attending the masjid and praying in congregation. And so because of fulfilling two obligations, the reward is increased over 20 times or 27 times. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified this even further. He said that if one of you makes wudu at home, فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوء, and makes wudu properly, makes wudu well, and according to how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make wudu, ثُمَّ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, and then this person leaves his house and goes to the masjid. لَا يُرِيدُ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ, and he only intends the salah. So the only reason why the person left the masjid was in order to offer salah. And this shows us that if a person left the house to go to work first, or go to meet a friend, and that was the intention for leaving the house, and then after meeting with his friend or going to work, from the meeting goes to the masjid, then the reward which is mentioned in this hadith is not for that person. Of course, that person still gets reward and different levels of reward. But this hadith is speaking specifically about a person who leaves his house with the only intention of attending the masjid in order to pray salah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned the reward. And there are four benefits or four rewards which are for this person. Firstly, that every step that person takes to the masjid, a good deed is written for him. Secondly, every step the person takes in going to the masjid, a sin is wiped away. The third benefit is that when that person goes to the masjid and enters into the masjid and, for example, prays Tahiyyatul Masjid, the two raka'at for entering the masjid, and then waits for the salah, and perhaps the person came 5 or 10 or 15 minutes early, prayed Tahiyyatul Masjid within a minute or two, and then waited 10 or 15 minutes for the salah to be established. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, كان في الصلاة ما كانت الصلاة هي تحبسه. As long as that person is remaining in his place waiting for the salah, it's as if he's continuously praying. So even though the person only prayed 2 raka'at for entering the masjid and then waited sitting for 10 or 15 minutes, but even the 10 or 15 minutes whilst he's sitting in his place, it is as if he is praying salah. He is getting the reward for praying raka'at of salah. And then the fourth benefit that the person achieves is that the angels, they supplicate for this person. And the angels say regarding this person, they say, Allahumma arham, O Allah, bestow mercy upon this person. Allahumma ghfir lahu, O Allah, forgive him. Allahumma tub alayhi, O Allah, accept his repentance. Or bestow upon him repentance. And this is also one of the actions of the angels. So the angels, they have various responsibilities and various actions. And one of the actions or the responsibilities which the angels have and perform is that they continuously supplicate for the righteous believers. Like a person who goes out in order to seek knowledge. The angels supplicate for this person. Like those people who come to the masjid in order to study the book of Allah. The angels supplicate for such a person. Like a person who prays in the first row in the masjid. The angels supplicate for this person. Like a person who teaches others goodness and teaches them what is halal and what is haram. The angels, they supplicate for this person. So one of the jobs or the responsibilities of the angels is that they supplicate for righteous believers. And one of them, like the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the one who comes to the masjid and only leaves his house with the intention of praying salah in the masjid, comes early to the salah and then waits until the next salah comes. And also in this meaning is a person who prays one salah and then remains in the masjid waiting for the second salah. Whilst he is waiting for the second salah, like a person who prayed dhuhr in the masjid, salat al-dhuhr, and then in the winter, because there is only, let's say, an hour or an hour and a half between dhuhr and asr, he decides to wait for salat al-asr for the sake of Allah, for this great reward. It is written that that 1.5 hours of him waiting in the masjid, all of it is as if he is in salah, and therefore good deeds are being written for him. And also, whilst he is sitting in that place, the angels are continuously making dua for him. So this is one of the actions of the angels. And no doubt, this is a great amount of reward. Every step a person takes, a good deed is being written. And every step a person takes, a sin is being forgiven. And every minute a person waits for the salah to be established whilst he is sitting in the masjid, it is written as if he is praying salah. And all the time the person is waiting, the angels are making dua for this person for mercy and forgiveness and repentance. So this is a great virtue for coming to the masjid and sitting and waiting in the masjid and attending the masjid early. But the condition is, number one, he only left his house for the salah. The intention was that I am going to pray salah and this is why I'm leaving early. And this is the point behind the hadith. Why did the author mention this hadith in the chapter of Al-Ikhlas? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ لَا يُرِيدُ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ, that this person, he leaves his house and he goes to the masjid only intending the salah. His intention is sincere and purely for the sake of Allah and therefore attains such a great reward. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, مَا لَمْ يُؤْذِ فِيهِ وَمَا لَمْ يُحْدِثْ فِيهِ, and this reward is written for him as long as he remains in his place where he offered the salah. As long as he does not harm any person or he does not break his wudu. مَا لَمْ يُحْدِثْ فِي. Some of the ulama, they understood from مَا لَمْ يُحْدِثْ فِي, not breaking wudu, rather not backbiting or talking about others. Because the letters are the same. If you say yuhdithu, it means to break wudu by passing wind. And if you say yahdithu with a fatha, It means to speak. And the reason why they mentioned that it means to speak is because the Prophet mentioned مَا لَمْ يُؤْذِ فِي وَمَا لَمْ يَحْدُثْ فِي, that as long as he does not harm anybody, i.e. physically with his hands, and also does not harm anybody with his tongue by speaking like lying or slandering or backbiting in the masjid. And the other understanding of this hadith is, as long as he remains in his place of salah, and he has not broken his wudu, and Allah knows best. Then after this, we come to the 12th hadith. And this is the hadith of Abdullah ibn al-Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And he was the young cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because al-Abbas, the father of Abdullah, was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was perhaps the closest uncle that he had. And al-Abbas radiallahu anhu accepted Islam and died upon Islam. So he's a virtuous sahabi. And his son is Abdullah ibn Abbas. And he was a young companion, but he was known for his knowledge, and particularly his knowledge of the Quran. And the kunya of Abdullah ibn Abbas is Abu al-Abbas. So he is Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu anhuma. He narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrates فِيمَا يَرْوِي عَنْ رَبِّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, narrating from his Lord, the Blessed and the Most High. And whenever we find this wording in a hadith in which the companion says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, narrating or conveying from his Lord, this wording, it means that this is a hadith Qudsi. And a hadith Qudsi is different to hadith Nabawi. Hadith Nabawi is the statement or the action or the tacit approval of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said and something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed. Hadith Qudsi is a hadith in which the wording is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, however the meaning was inspired by Allah subhanahu to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the difference between the Quran and al-hadith al-Qudsi. So we have three types of narrations: al-hadith al-Nabawi and al-hadith al-Qudsi and al-Quran. So al-hadith al-Nabawi, the prophetic hadith, is when the companion says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade, and so on and so forth. I.e. the wording and the meaning behind the wording, it is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the second type of narration is al-hadith al-Qudsi. And this is when the meaning is inspired to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by Allah, but the wording is the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we have the Quran, and the Quran is the wording and the meaning is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel alayhi salam, he heard the words of the Quran from Allah, he memorized them, and he then taught them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then memorized the words of Allah from Jibreel alayhi salam, and then taught his companions. And then the companions, they memorized the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and taught their students, and like this, generation after generation, until it came to our time today. So in this hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Inna Allah katab al-hasanati was-sayyi'at thumma bayyana dhalik." Verily, Allah has legislated or decreed the good deeds and the evil sins. Thumma bayyana dhalik. And then he clarified this. "Faman hamma bi hasanatin falam ya'malha كَتَبَهَ اللَّهُ لَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلًا. So whoever was determined, whoever intended and was determined to do a good action, however he did not perform the good action, Allah still writes it for him as if he performed, as if he has one reward. A person who intended and was determined to do a good action, but then never ended up performing the action, it is still written with Allah one good deed. One good deed or one good reward is still written for this person. فَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا. And if the person made an intention and was determined to do the good deed, فَعَمِلَهَا. And then he performed the good deed, كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ إِلَىٰ سَبْعِ مِئَةِ ضِعْفٍ إِلَىٰ أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا. Then Allah writes for this person 10 good deeds to 700 good deeds and multiplied many times. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. And if a person intended to do an evil deed, a sin, however he did not perform it, كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً. Then Allah writes for this person a good deed. A person who intended and was determined to do a sin or an evil action, and then he left it. Allah writes for this person one good deed. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِهَا فَعَمِلَهَا. And if this person intended and was determined to do a sin, and then did the sin, performed the evil action, كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ سَيِّئَةً وَاحِدَةً. Then Allah writes this for this person one sin. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So in this hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions the four different scenarios with regards to intentions and actions. And that is that either a person intends to do a good deed but does not do it. Or secondly, a person intends to do the good deed and then performs it. Or conversely, a person intends to do an evil deed, a sin, but does not perform the sin. Or a person intends the sin and then performs the sin. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that for each one of these scenarios, for each person in one of these four scenarios, where is the reward and where is the punishment? So the first scenario is man hamma bihasana. Somebody intends and has a determination to do a good action. فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. However, he does not perform the good action. Allah writes for him a good deed. So for example, a person has a firm intention and a determination to give some money in charity. And he sets aside the money that he was going to give in charity. And then for whatever reason, the person did not end up giving that money in charity, and instead spent it on something else. Allah still writes for that person a good deed. A person intended to pray two raka'at for the sake of Allah, Salat al-Nafl, and then did not do so. Allah still writes for that person a single good deed. A person intended and had a firm determination to go seek knowledge or to memorize some ayat of the Quran, and then for whatever reason the person was not able to do so and did not perform it, Allah still writes for that person a good deed. And if a person asks, why has a good deed been written for this person and he did not perform the action? He merely had an intention and he was determined to do it, but he did not perform it. Why is a good deed written for him? The answer is that this is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that not only does he reward for the good action, but he also rewards for that which is in the heart, in terms of sincerity and having a firm intention and being determined to do the action. And we have to clarify here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said man hamma bihasana, that whoever has a ham to do a good deed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not merely say whoever has a thought to do a good deed or an empty intention to do a good deed. Rather, it was a ham. And the meaning of ham, hamma in Arabic, is somebody who is determined and has a firm desire and an ambition to do this action and attaches importance to this action and is focused on doing that action. And then for whatever reason, the person did not do it. But on account of that determination and that focus and that firm intention, Allah subhanahu, He rewards the person with a single good deed. And then the second scenario is somebody who made the firm intention to do a good action, فَعَمِلَهَا, and then he did perform the action. His reward, automatically it is multiplied by 10. So the minimum that that person receives in terms of reward is 10 good deeds. A single good action which you do, Allah replies back by multiplying it by 10. And not only this, إلى سبع مئة ضعف. And then Allah increases it to anywhere between 10 to 700 good deeds. إلى أضعاف كثيرة. And multiplies it even further. And this difference in reward from writing 10 good deeds to over 700 good deeds for the same action, why is this? According to a person's sincerity and according to a person's taqwa and according to how close a person follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, two people come to the salah, two people perform salah, one of them gets 10 good deeds because he prayed the very basic salah and perhaps his humility in the salah was not much and his concentration in the salah was distracted. Another person is rewarded 700 good deeds. And this is because of how much he is focusing and how much khushu' and also how close he is following the salah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the third scenario, whoever intended to do an evil action and was determined to do the evil action, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. However, he did not perform the action. Allah still writes for this person one good deed. And again, you might ask, why is a good deed written for a person who intended and was determined to do an evil action? The reason why a good deed is written for him is because he left the evil deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another wording of the hadith, this is mentioned. That Allah said, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا لِأَجْلِي, that this person, he did not perform the sin for my sake. Meaning you had a person and he intended to oppress another person. And he went out in order to go oppress the person. And he made his plans to oppress the person. And as he approached the house of the person, he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he remembers Yawm al-Qiyamah. And he remembers the punishment of Allah subhanahu. And so because of this fear of Allah, he does not oppress the person. A good deed is still written for this person because he left an evil action for the sake of Allah subhanahu. And then the final scenario is that a person was determined to do the evil action and then did the evil action. Then, كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَةً وَاحِدًا, then Allah writes for this person one single bad deed. Meaning, Allah does not multiply the sin. When it came to the good deeds, Allah multiplied them. And when it came to the sins, Allah does not multiply the sin. He only writes a single bad deed. And this hadith is an evidence to show us the kindness and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is Al-Kareem, the kind. And He is Al-Mannan, the one who gives and bestows. And He is Al-Jawad, the one who is generous. And He is Al-Latif, the one who is subtle. And He is Al-Rauf, compassionate. And He is Al-Rahim, the most merciful. رَحْمَتُهُ سَبَقَتْ غَضَبَهُ, He is the one whose mercy, it precedes His anger. And whose pardoning precedes His punishment. And Allah said it in the Quran, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ, whoever brings or whoever comes with a good deed, فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا, then he is rewarded tenfold. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ, and whoever comes with an evil deed, فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا, then he is only punished for that one sin. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ, and they are not oppressed. So notice these scenarios. When he merely intended and he had the determination to do the good action, but he did not do it, Allah wrote for him a good deed. When he performed the good action, Allah multiplies the good deed to from a minimum 10 times up to 700 times and then even more. And then if a person had the determination to do a sin, but did not do it for the sake of Allah, Allah still rewards the person. And even if the person did perform the sin, Allah writes for that person one single sin and does not multiply the sin. And all of this is due to the kindness and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in this hadith, and we finish with this, is a reminder that as Muslims, we should always be intent on doing good deeds. Always be focused on doing good deeds. Always have a determination and an ambition to do a good deed. You're always searching, what can I do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Any opportunity which arises to please Allah, you do it. So for example, somebody needs some help, you give in charity. Or at the least, you have a truthful, firm determination to help the person. Somebody needs a lift, you give a lift for the sake of Allah. Somebody needs help with their shopping, you help them with their shopping. It's time to pray nafal, you pray nafal. You have some time which is spare, you recite some Quran. And like this. So the Muslim is somebody who is always searching for opportunities to do good actions, and always determined to do good actions, and always determined to stay away from sinning. And perhaps if that person has this thought and this outlook and is always determined and on the lookout to please Allah, even if the person does not perform it, maybe Allah rewards that person for the determination. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success and guidance and at-tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu protect us and protect the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon the Muslim deceased. And may he cure those who are ill. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وبالله التوفيق.